I pack up the crusty remains of the plastic cheese slice and pickle sandwiches Dad made us for the lunch on the train. My little sister Anne and I are being sent away to Devon to spend the whole summer holiday with our grandmother. I shove the mangled mess of dry crusts and crinkled foil into the tiny metal bin squashed between the backs of two turquoise upholstered seats. The lid squeaks open and shut, as if it's trying to rat us out. To whom? I'm not sure. As for now, we are adult-free. We have, of course, already finished the lunchbox treats of Capri Suns and Kit Kat Fingers, fours, not twos, that was meant to have survived beyond our never-ending train journey. I hand Anne a wet wipe to wash away the evidence that is smeared on her expressionless face and chocolatey fingers. I throw away the last of the wrappers and used wipes, and the bin squawks again, echoing in the hushed compartment. The ladies in the seats opposite us tut under their hats. The train's temperature is way too stuffy for wearing big hats, but maybe, like Mum always says, for some people appearances matter more than anything. I pull my best funny face at Anne, one that would have had her in hysterics before. She sees me but doesn't respond, and I'm left looking like a bit of a plank. At least it doesn't matter if anyone here notices. I promised Dad I'd try my hardest to be a good sister while we're away, but I'm finding it hard not to show how irritating Anne's constant silence can be. I don't know if I'll be able to stay cool with her for a whole 6 weeks. I mean, I appreciate it. I know how I'd be feeling if I was her, being sent away from home with just a geeky big sister for company while Mum's still in hospital. I just wish she would talk. Say something. Let me know she's doing okay. On the top of everything, we definitely don't need strange ladies disapproving tuts. We didn't need the fuss they made when we boarded the train because we have the reservation for the forward-facing seats. Too bad. Dad asked especially when he bought the tickets, because Anne becomes travel sick if she sits facing the wrong way round, and I said no way would I be cleaning up any of that. A big yawn wins its way out of my mouth. I'm still tired after being woken up far too early by Dad this morning. There was actual dawn birdsong when the alarm went off. Something no teenager should have to deal with on the first day of their summer holidays, unless they're headed off on a plane to Disney World, maybe. I wore my most convincing positive face when we left the house. Well, I neutralised the face that could reveal how I really felt about waking up early just to be sent away. My face is always a dead giveaway of my feelings. Mum says she can read me like a book. I really struggled to keep up the conversation with Dad on the bus and tube we took to Paddington. My head was stuck in fantasies about being back in bed and having a lie-in to celebrate no school for 6 weeks. The summer of 1997 is supposed to be one of the best of my life. At least that's what I was told over and over at school in the last few weeks of term. After we finished our GCSEs, the message from teachers was, "There's nothing you can do but wait for the results, and that's out of your hands until the end of August. Enjoy the freedom. Things can only get better." I had totally intended to channel their spirit, even though things didn't end up going quite to plan with my exams. I haven't been very successful. Life hasn't been easy or relaxing, with Mum in hospital and me worrying about how to tell Dad I've messed up my exams. Then, out of nowhere, Dad announced on Monday that Anne and I'd be headed off for the whole flippin' summer without him.